teens leave for camp in the morning, and it is calling for some rain up there in the mountains for Monday and Tuesday, so be sure you pack an extra change of clothes and some rain gear. And Eddie Maddox had his knee operated on today, opened up, where he'd had a knee joint replacement a few months ago, and it got infected, and they had to go in and open it up to clean it out. Joy's dad was a little better today after the antibiotics took a hold, and he was not talking incoherently in any way, and that was encouraging. Mr. J.B. Cook, 86, is in the hospital with pneumonia, the same thing. Lynn Ross was here this morning. It was good to see her. She was sick the week before. Donna wanted anyone who had VBS material to please return it. And we had two or three people who turned in their T-shirts, and the T-shirts are yours to keep. If you turn one in, see her about getting it back. If you want to keep it, you're welcome to it. And if not, we'll use it next year for somebody. Cindy, Mrs. Wheels made her a meal today, so Jimmy was here and took the meal home for Cindy. Leroy Robinson, health issue. Griffin family, both the husband and the wife, sick. He has Alzheimer's, she has cancer. Tom Stauffer's here tonight, but he's still battling that breathing issues with this summertime weather. It's worse. Tommy Tart's going to have surgery on cataracts and then a knee joint. JT's going to have nasal passage surgery. He's going to drill his sinus out. Kathy O'Brien in the Ukraine is sick, and their well went out at their church. And her husband and son built that church building themselves, and they did an amazing job. And but the small congregation of people in the Ukraine, they don't have any money, and they don't, you know, the well went out, so they got it fixed, but it's costing them. They probably had to borrow money. Her clothes dryer went out, but he said, you know, we can hang up clothes for months and months if we have to, but we can't do without water at the church. You know, we got to have that fixed right away. Haley's still in Germany. Donnie Freeman's in the hospital. That's Dolores and Sheila's brother. Debbie Holland was home, not feeling well today. And Max was home because he got snake bit in the weeds looking for golf balls and stepped in there and something got his foot and he jerked out and got the two holes in his foot, you know. But they checked him and said there was no venom released, but his foot is swollen. And he stayed home today to get better. Sharon Scruggs and Andrew are going to be flying to Arkansas. And y'all pray for, she said, pray for Joe. She's worried that he'll starve while she's gone. And apparently Joe don't cook much. You know, he was here by himself eating out of a can up there at Kings Mountain Park when he first came here from Arkansas, you know. That boy come up here from Arkansas, had a wife and kids out in Arkansas, and he stayed in the natural area at Kings Mountain Park. I think it was like $1.50 a night or something back in those days. All they had was a spigot. And he would fill up one of these 10-gallon plastic containers and hang it up in a tree. The sun shine on it during the day. He'd take a shower when he got off work, climb in his sleeping bag in his pickup truck, make him a little fire and cook him some food on a canned food, you know, and eat and go to bed and get up the next day and start all over again. They did that for months and months and months until he was able to bring his family here. And boy, how I admired the determination for somebody to do that and the sacrifice. Amen. And so I know he won't starve. I know he can make it. And I talked to the Rudd boy this morning going out the door. He's the guy that's got the kind of wild hair. He's just graduated. I didn't know he graduated from high school. We're going to have to get him a Bible. We didn't know we had somebody graduate. And is that his name, David? And his dad is a Honda salesman with Honda Motors. He's doing lifeguard work this summer. I asked him, was he going to college in the fall? He said, no, he's going in the Air Force. So remember him in your prayers. And we'll hopefully be able to give him some advice on, you know, who to get hooked up with and that sort of thing, depending on what basis he's going to be on, where there'll be some churches close by. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the service. And the choir will sing for you, and then we'll get a message from the Word. Brother Frank, would you lead us in prayer and ask the Lord to bless the service tonight?
Stand, and we'll use this opportunity to say hello to one another, shake some hands. Receiveth sinful men, but he receives sinful men based on the premise that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Hymn 222. Our next hymn. We certainly do appreciate all of our musicians and those who fill in for us, especially Natalie as she's filling in for Miss Gwen. We are blessed here with the musicians that we have.
Strength, my shield, to you. so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Amen. Thank you all very much. Excellent job.
Remember Judy's family. Her brother is in the hospital with in the nursing home, actually, has dementia. Wayne is his name, Wayne Drake. Remember him, please. The kids who are up to 9 years old, you can go out with Joy. And Nanette and Diane are taking a little break for a month or two, and then when they come back, we'll start the blessings over again. It goes all the way through elementary. 2 Peter in your Bibles tonight, chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll begin with verse number 7. We know the nation of Israel is an example to the church. Their early history from Egypt through the wilderness to Canaan, through the time of the judges and the kings, reveal similar patterns that all God's people go through. Roller coaster rides up and down, close to God and in times away from God and all of that. God delivered us as he did them through the blood of the Lamb. When they were in Egypt, they put the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost and lintels. And when we got saved, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us of all of our sins. They were in bondage in Egypt, and we were in bondage to sin before we were saved. God gave them opportunity to possess the land of Canaan that he had given unto Abraham. But when they got to the edge, unbelief, seeing the obstacles, caused them to fail to enter in. Later, after that generation died off, Joshua led the next generation into Canaan. Now, God's given opportunity for us to grow to a mature Christian life. And that's what Canaan represents, a place of blessing from God, a place of provision from God, a place of spiritual life with the Lord. And unbelief is a struggle for us and the temptations of the flesh. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 7, the scripture says, "But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." Let us pray. Lord, as we look into your word tonight, I ask that you'll guide what is said. I want to help your people. We need to be fed through the word daily. I pray that you'll give us a good meal of the scriptures tonight. that we might be strengthened spiritually for what we're going to face this next week. And many will go off to work in the morning. They'll face the dangers of the roads and driving. Some will face the dangers of flight. Some will face the problems at work that cause stress and discouragement, and they will be under the influence of people who are not necessarily Christians and that they have to work for and to be in close relation with in their jobs. And so, Lord, we all need your grace and your help to strengthen us on Sunday in the Lord's house to be equipped for a new week. And we pray for your help for your people tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Israel being the example that God has given, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we're reminded of many who by faith accomplished great and mighty deeds, both men and women. God worked through them. They acted upon their faith to do something in an amazing way, and we find some amazing accomplishments that took place in Hebrews chapter 11. We know Noah was moved with fear. Can you imagine God explaining to him how he was about to destroy the entire earth? Every living being and thing on the earth was going to be destroyed except what he took into the ark. God gave him the dimensions. That was something scary, giving the dimensions of the ark, that he was going to have to build that without all the modern day building equipment and all that. We've got that housing development going in next door to us right now. They've been clearing 28 acres of land. They're going to build 62 houses, and they've had gigantic earth-moving equipment and gigantic dump trucks and packing equipment and digging equipment and bulldozers, and all that's been right over next to our home. And wake Joy up at 6 o'clock in the morning and you know, caterpillar tracks, you know, squeaking and popping and all of that, you know, getting started with work. And Noah didn't have any of those kind of things. They would cut logs by hand with axe and saw, and they would hew them and prepare them to fit together. And they built the ark with the dimensions about the size of a modern-day cruise liner. And the dimensions within, engineers tell us, would hold 550 train car loads of animals and people and all that sort of thing. And there were only 8 people in the ark, and Noah and his 3 sons and their wives. And God spared them to start over. There were 7 of every clean animal and 2 of every unclean animal, and they went into the ark 2 by 2, and God preserved life on the earth. There's coming another day of judgment in a similar way that Noah faced judgment. That judgment is not too far away. What intervenes between the now and then is Christ is going to come in the clouds and take us to heaven to be with him forevermore in what we call the rapture. And when we go home to be with the Lord, the tribulation will begin on this earth. The Bible pictures 7 years of the tribulation, with the last 3.5 being the great tribulation, where Revelation 6 through 19, all the judgments that will be poured out on the earth in that day. Christ will return and fight the battle of Armageddon. He'll set up his kingdom. And when his kingdom is finished 1,000 years, then there is coming a new heaven and a new earth where we'll dwell with him forever and forever. At the beginning of the judgments of the tribulation, there will be great cataclysmic changes to the earth as we know it today. And 2 Peter talks about the fire and the burning and the changing that will take place. Verse 11 asks a question. With us knowing these things, what manner of persons ought we to be, seeing that we know the imminent return of Christ and the future judgment that will come upon the world, and the new heaven and the new earth that we have to look forward to, that is promised unto us, but to the world a promise of judgment for the unsaved. What manner of persons are we to be? What's going to happen with all the unsaved people unless we stand in the gap for them? Unless we pray, unless we witness, unless we're the lighthouse that shows the light to come to Christ and show people the way of salvation. Knowing that's going to happen, what manner of persons are we to be? Knowing that everything on this earth is going to be dissolved by fire. You hear me say all the time that the things of this earth rust, bust, and collect dust. And they'll rob you of your joy if you put too much confidence in things. And all these things are going to be dissolved one day. So knowing that, what manner of persons are we to be? Abraham lived in a tent. And he went from place to place to place. And he lived in a tent. He was able to move. When God said move, he could just pack up his tent and move. And we put so much stock in material possessions, and one day all of those things are going to pass away. Knowing that, what manner of persons ought we to be? Well, our future is preserved and reserved for us with the Lord. In 2 Peter 3, verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So we are to be found diligent, seeking to be ready for the Lord's coming, ready for these things that will take place in the future, ready to stand before God without spot and blameless. Verse 17 and 18 says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow spiritually. He wants us to grow closer to God. He wants us to grow in the knowledge of the Word and in the knowledge of the person of Christ. And if we do that, then we'll be equipped for what we're going to face and to help others in facing what's going to take place. And Noah built the ark, and he was a laborer for God, and we are co-laborers with God building the church of Jesus Christ. Christ is building his church, and he allows us to be a part of that. He allows us to be co-laborers with him, and we are witnesses, and we are intercessors who pray on behalf of others, and we are those who honor and glorify the Lord. And knowing what we know, how then are we to live and serve and minister? Hebrews 11 tells us about a number of people. It tells us about Noah who built the ark. It tells us about Gideon who God appeared to him and said, thou mighty man of valor. I don't know everything about Gideon's life, but I know this. When God appeared to him and said that, he was hiding from the Midianites, threshing out some wheat to keep them from taking it in tax. That's why if you got a second job where you get paid without IRS being involved, you got a proof text to keep that money without paying tax on it, because just like Gideon, you're threshing out some wheat trying to keep a little something from the Midianites. And if you work for a corporation, you got to pay your Social Security and your tax and all that sort of thing. So that's a must. You're going to go to jail one day. And you go, my preacher told me I didn't have to do that. Now, Gideon was hiding so the Midianites wouldn't catch him. And the angel appeared and said, thou mighty man of valor. I think Gideon would have said, who me? And God used him in a great way. He raised up a great army. And then God said, that's too many. And Gideon said, I was thinking it wasn't enough, Lord. And the Lord said, no, it's too many. He said, everybody's afraid, send them home. And everybody's got family concerns, send them home. and send them down to the water to drink, and the ones that get down on their knee and cup their hand and get some water and drink like this, said, take those with you. And so it was a very small group, like 10% compared to what he started out with. But God used them in a great and mighty way. And the church today is just a percent of the population. But God can use the church for his honor and his glory and to accomplish great things in the same way he used these people. He tells us in James chapter 5 that Elisha was a prophet of God, Elijah, and he prayed that it would not rain for 3.5 years, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed that it would rain, and it did rain. And the scripture says Elijah was a man of like passions like we are. In other words, he was just a man. He wasn't some superhuman. My little grandson loves superheroes, you know. He's got, I think, 9 costumes or something like that of superheroes. You know, he's Spider-Man one week, and he's Superman one week, and he's somebody else the next week. A couple of them, I don't even know who they are, you know. Incredibles. I don't even know who the Incredibles are, you know. And he loves superheroes. He wants to have power to do stuff superheroes can do. Well, Elijah wasn't a superhero. He was just a man. But he was a man filled with the Spirit of God, a man who walked with God, a man who listened to God, a man who had fear of God, and God used him in a great and mighty way. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32, the Bible tells us about another man by the name of Barak. And Barak was a man who was not a mighty man of valor like God said about Gideon. He was a leader. He was a good man, no doubt. But he was fearful. And when the Lord wanted to use him in Judges chapter 4 to go against their enemies with 900 chariots of iron, he was a little afraid. So what did he do? He asked Deborah to go with him. He asked a woman who was a judge to go with him. Now, Deborah was a judge of the Lord. She was a spiritual woman. She was a ruler. But she was not a priest. She was not a pastor. She was a woman of government of the people. They would come to her to settle their disputes. She was one of the judges. And she was a great woman. And he sought her to go with him to give him encouragement. Now, he didn't seek her because of her beauty. And he didn't seek her because of her talent. He sought her because she was walking with God. She talked with God. She knew something of God. And he wanted God on his side when he went against these pagan soldiers. She served somewhat like a governor. She was obviously a very exceptional woman. And she was led by the Spirit of God. There's another woman the Bible tells us about in the Old Testament during this time frame. And it is Jael, the wife of Heber. Heber had separated his people from the Kenites and the descendants of Jethro, who's called Hobab, who was the father-in-law of Moses. And he pitched his tent in Kadesh, under the guiding hand of God. He pitched his tent in a place where God led him to be. He didn't know why God put him there. He didn't know all the answers of what was going to happen in the future. He was just being obedient. And so he separated from the other people like God told him to do, and he pitched his tent in this place. How's your tent pitched tonight? How about where you live and how you operate? Has God put you where you are? Are you where you are because you want to serve the Lord and you're willing to serve God and you're being obedient unto God? Well, Jael was the wife of a man who was willing to do that. When Sisera, the pagan captain, fled from the battle, Jael invited him to hide in her tent. because there was peace between the king of Canaan and the Kenite Heber. But there was no peace between Jael, his wife, and the king. And she invited him into the tent, and she gave him something to drink. And when he went to sleep, she took a nail and held it up to his temple and a hammer and nailed him to the ground. The Bible says she took off his head. And the women sang praise. Look back in your Bibles at Judges chapter 5. The Bible records songs they sang of her. Judges chapter 5. Look at verse 2 as we set the context here. The Bible says, "Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves." Verse 24 says, "Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet he bowed, he fell. He lay down. At her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead." Now get this, verse 28. This is not cynical of God. He said in verse 28, "The mother of Sisera looked out a window and cried through the lattice, Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots? Her wise ladies answered her, Yea, she returned answer to herself." He went against the wrong people in battle. He went against the people of God. And she could stand there and look out the window all day long and wonder why he wasn't home. He wasn't coming home, my friends. His head was off and he was dead and the battle was over. And they had lost to the people of God because of these women, Deborah and Jael, who were mighty women of God who assisted the Lord in the work that God would have to do. That tent was in the exact right place for when that king fled from the battle, he came to that tent. And there was peace between her husband and his people, so he felt comfortable when she invited him into the tent. But there was no peace between her and the king. And she took off his head. Now, Barak had moved upon Deborah to call upon the men for battle, and he led And he was fearful of Sisera with 900 chariots, but God brought him down by the river, and they called on the people to come to war, 10,000 to war of Zebulun and Naphtali. And God drew Sisera down here to the river with all of his chariots, and it appears from the scriptures that God brought the river at a flood stage. And with the chariots, they got stuck in the mud, and the horses broke their hooves on the rocks of the river. And the chariots were no good at all when you got in a flood stage of a river, and they all got stuck and broke down. And God wrought a great victory through them. And God wants us to step forth by faith, knowing what's going to transpire in the future, what manner of persons ought we to be. We ought to be looking for the Lord to come. We ought to be looking for how God would have us to serve. We ought to be looking for where God would have us pitch our tent. We ought to be looking for the reasons that God has for us to be here for this day and for this time. We ought to be like Esther. God hath brought her to the kingdom for such a time as this. And God has brought you to where you are for such a time as this. Like Sarah, who waited on God with some hesitation, but she received a son in her old age. Like Barak, who wanted Deborah to go with him, But God gave him the great victory in chapter 5 in verse number 31. And for 40 years the land had rest because they had fought this battle. We want our families to be at peace with God. We want them to be at rest. We want them to be safe. We want them to be provided for. We want them to be cared over. And if we do what is right, there's no reason that we can't have that kind of blessing from God on our home and on our church and even on our nation, if our nation will get back to worshiping God in the way that it should. Sadly, with Israel, you know the story, how the roller coaster ride of their spiritual life. In chapter 6, the Bible says after 40 years, Israel had forgotten the hand of the Lord, and they did evil, and God allowed them to suffer under the Midianites, and that's when Gideon came along. I wonder tonight if you feel God is preparing you for something. Is God placing you where you are because he's got a plan and a purpose to use you in a particular way? How much time do we have if we're going to stay away from service or stay away from study of the scriptures or stay away from spending time in prayer, or for those that are out of church and away from God where they ought to be back here with us? Are we using our time selfishly, or are we using it knowing that the Lord is coming again, knowing that one day there'll be a great judgment, that the lost are going to perish? Judgment's going to come upon an unsuspecting society, and we have the opportunity to warn them today. We won't have the opportunity to warn them when it's happening, because when it's happening, we're going to be in heaven with the Lord, delivered from this present evil world. You say, well, right before that happens, I'm going to really go out and be a witness. You're not going to know when that's going to happen. And the Bible says it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The trump's going to sound. The Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But that's not everybody. That's the saved, my friends. The lost are going to be left behind. And they're going to go through those judgments. We can warn them now. We can be prepared. We can help them to be prepared. We can rescue some. Sadly, we won't rescue them all. But we can rescue some while there's an opportunity. What manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for the future when God will bring his judgment upon the earth? Thanks be unto God, he's promised us we're going to be delivered before that judgment comes. We've got a great future to look forward to, but we've got friends and family and people we know who are not prepared, not ready for that day. God help us to try to reach them while we have the opportunity. Let's stand together, please. Father, I thank you in the faithfulness of your people in being here tonight. I thank you that you love us and you have prepared a place for us in heaven. And we're looking for you to come and take us there. We have a great future to look forward to, but Lord, we have friends and family members and people we are acquainted with who are not saved, who are not ready, who are not looking for the Lord's coming. They're caught up in this present evil world in which we live. They're living sinfully and wrongfully. And sadly, there's an awful lot of people who would profess to know Christ as their Savior, who are out of church and away from the Lord and away from their Bible and away from living a Christian life, and they're certainly not being a witness to anyone else. How long, Lord, will they stay away? The wife of Jael was found faithful in a place where you put them, knowing what was going to happen in the future. And you've put us in this place today to do your will. I pray you'll help us to be willing and faithful in what we do. In Jesus' name, amen.